You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
In 2018, a story went viral that was both hilarious and really, really uncomfortable. A 30-year-old man named Michael Rotondo was sued by his own parents because he refused to move out of their house. He didn't pay rent. He didn't help with the chores. He ignored multiple written eviction notices. I know it sounds crazy, but eventually a judge had to step in and rule that being a family member doesn't entitle you to stay a dependent forever. He was ordered by the judge to launch. Now, we laugh because it's absurd, but the author of Hebrews delivers a similar stinging rebuke to his audience. He's looking at people who've been in the faith for years, but who are still spiritually living in their parents' basement. If you're coming out of the LDS church, this passage hits a very specific nerve. You've likely spent decades in a system that prides itself on eternal progression, yet often keeps its members in a state of perpetual spiritual infancy, relying on a central organization to tell you what to think, what to eat, how to interpret every verse of Scripture. Today we're looking at Hebrews chapter 5, specifically verses 11 to 14. And we're going to ask the question, are you a consumer of a religious system, or are you a contributor to the mission of God? The author of Hebrews wants to go deep. He wants to talk about the high priesthood of Melchizedek. And that's what he does actually quite a bit in the book of Hebrews. It's heavy meat theology. And by the way, it's not what you think it is if you're coming out of Mormonism. But the author of Hebrews stops mid-sentence and he sighs and he says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. He calls them spiritually dull. The Greek word is nothros, which means sluggish or lazy. And think for a second about the LDS experience. I know you're not thinking that it was sluggish or lazy, but just hang with me for a second. You're given a manual. You're given a correlated lesson plan every year. Every ward in the entire world studies the exact same thing on the exact same day. It's safe, but it's milk. It's pre-digested. It's not meat. And there's danger in that kind of teaching, in that kind of environment. When you're never forced to wrestle with the text yourself, when you're told that the thinking has been done for you, then your spiritual muscles atrophy. You become a Michael Rotondo, sitting in the basement of a religious institution, refusing to grow up because the milk is free and the meat is nowhere to be found because they don't ever read the Bible. So the author of Hebrews says that they need someone to teach them, again, the basic things. They're stuck on a liquid diet. Now, in Mormonism, studying often means searching for verses that confirm what the prophet just said. It's called, in our Christian language, we call that proof texting. You're just trying to prove something that you want to find in the text. But biblical maturity requires something else. And I'm going to just give you a little lesson here. It's called inductive Bible study. Here's how you do inductive Bible study. First of all, you ask the question, what does the text actually say? Not what the manual says it says, not what Joseph Smith's commentary says about it. No. What does the text actually say? Number two, what did it mean to the original audience? Not Joseph Smith, not some prophet's take on it. What did it mean to the original audience that it was written to? And then number three, how does this change my life today? That's called inductive Bible study. Try it if you never have before. So again, here it's observation, interpretation, application. Here are the questions again. Observation, what does the text actually say? Number two, interpretation, what did it mean to the original audience? And number three, application, how does this change my life today? Now, if you grew up as a Mormon, you've probably never read the Bible like that before. But if you want to get to the meat of the word, you've got to feel the permission to study the Bible for yourself. If your only spiritual intake is 30 minutes of a lesson once a week, even if you're going to a Christian church now and the sermons are great and Bible-based, if that's your only intake, you aren't growing. You're just surviving. Maturity happens when you get out of the scenic drive of casual reading and you start looking at the historical markers on the journey. What's my point? Spiritual grown-ups don't just read the Bible, they study the Bible. But there's a next point that the author of Hebrews is making. Spiritual grown-ups don't just study the Bible, they apply it. Because knowledge without obedience is just religious trivia. Hebrews 5:14 says, the mature have trained themselves. The Greek word is gymnazo. That's right, it's where we get the word gymnasium. Growth requires the burn. Now, in the LDS context, obedience is usually framed as keeping the rules to stay worthy. But biblical application, if you really want to apply the Bible, it's more about discernment. It's the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong based on the character of God, not just on a handbook of instructions. So it's not a cold, dead relationship with God. It's a vibrant, living relationship with the creator of the universe. Now, what I've noticed is with so many people who leave the Mormon church, a lot of times they feel a failure to launch because all of a sudden the rules are gone. No one is checking if you're wearing the right clothes or drinking the right drinks. And this is where a lot of people fall away. They don't know how to exercise their own discernment. They don't know how to get in the gymnasio themselves, right? They haven't learned to train themselves because that's just not the way it works in Mormonism. So maturity is when you follow Jesus, not because you're afraid of a worthiness interview, but because you've trained your heart to love what he loves. So this is moving from reading the Bible to studying the Bible to really learning how to apply it in your own life for yourself. But there's one more thing in the text that really jumps out at me, and it's that spiritual grown-ups don't stop at applying the truth to their lives, you know, living in a way that honors God. They actually go one step further and they teach. And this is really kind of the mic drop moment of the passage. It says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. I love this verse because it's teaching us that the goal of the Christian life isn't self-improvement, it's multiplication. Now, this is actually where I think the Mormon church does a better job than most Christian churches in the world. I think they have an expectation that everyone should be teaching, that everyone should be leading. They do a great job of sending missionaries out all around the world. Now, obviously, the problem is they're not teaching the meat of the word, and they don't have the real gospel, the simple biblical gospel, and they have the wrong Jesus. So there's so much that's wrong with why they're sending people out and how they're sending people out, but at least they're sending people out. And if you're a follower of Jesus now, I want you to know something. This is what Jesus wants to do with you and with me. Eventually, he wants us out there making disciples, helping other people to understand what we've come to understand from the Word of God. Now, at Pursue God, we call this mentoring. We call this disciple making. And we've created a really simple tool to help people do it. Maybe you've already gone through it with somebody. It's called The Pursuit. We have a regular version of it. We also have a version for LDS investigators. And it's all about equipping you to help someone else, maybe someone that you know who's coming out of the Mormon church, to become a follower of the Jesus of the Bible. Now, I can hear the pushback already. You're saying, hey, I can't teach. I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out. I don't know Greek. I don't know the history. I don't hardly know my Bible. Isn't it safer to leave the teaching to like the pastors? But guys, that's the milkman talking, right? The author of Hebrews isn't saying you need a PhD. He's saying that after a certain amount of time, you should be able to articulate the gospel to someone else. If you're always the student and never the mentor, then you're actually a clog in the system. The cure for spiritual dullness, remember that's what we started with here? The cure for spiritual dullness isn't more consumption, it's contribution. I know that's hard for people coming out of Mormonism to hear because that's what you felt like they were making you do the whole time, but you're doing it for a completely different reason now. You're doing it because you've met Jesus. You're not doing it to become worthy. You're doing it because Jesus is worthy and he's transferred his perfection to your account and to my account. That's the good news of the Bible, and people need to hear it. And the best people to share it with them are those who understand the background they're coming from. Here's the thing. God loves you too much to let you stay a spiritual infant. If you're a former Mormon, you might feel like a teenager who just got kicked out of the house. I know it's scary. You're used to the structure. You're used to the milk. But God has a feast waiting for you, the solid food of knowing the real, uncorrelated Jesus. Don't fight the launch. Stop asking, what am I getting from this? And start asking, who can I help? Spiritual maturity isn't about how many years you've sat in a pew or how many times you've read the Book of Mormon. It's about whether you've stopped being a consumer and started reading your Bible and sharing it with someone who needs to hear it. All right, Michael Rotondo, the judge has ruled. The eviction notice is on the door, and it's time to grow up. Get ready to launch. Read Hebrews chapter 5 for yourself, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.